So, okay. Okay, I've got the Vach. We're going to start from Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, when he said, okay. The Mishnah makes this distinction, meaning the distinction that Rav Elazar will be Moida, that he'll be Moida, that what, that there'll be no Machlokas to Rav Yeshua and Rav Elazar, whether you have to spit it out or not, that the Rav Elazar holding that you could swallow it, and Rav Yeshua holding you have to spit it out, it won't be a Machlokas if it's the last case of the Mishnah. And now we're going to put by Chol, and now we're going to say the Mishnah also proves it. Onorashu Tevo, that he doesn't argue on the safe of the Mishnah where something was aser mitchila. There was never a heter to eat those foods at all. They're forbidden foods, and therefore lesser belazer polig. My tum der belazer mishum shehisl beheter. The reason for a belazer because he began to eat a beheter, and over here there's no hats cholas heter, and therefore it's that's the reason for all the reason. So Dr. Mar, telling you of Nasan Aimer.
Wait a minute. He started.
The cases that are behetar are the Isha, because she was an Ashes Kohen, or the Eved, who was the Eved of a Kohen. So they had a heter, because there was a time where they were permitted. But these other cases, only either he's a Cholol, or the case of the Tevel, those never had a heter. Tani, Reb Nosson Oimer, Lo Shehi Reb Lezer, Mishum Shehislam of Beheter. He has another interpretation.
You mean in Rabbi Lezer's,
reasoning? He has a new reasoning behind Rabbi Lezer. It's just going to be, it's mind-boggling, this explanation. Mishum Shehisko Bo Beheter. He started. I'm sorry. Lo Shehi Rabbi Lezer Oimer Mishum Shehisko Bo Beheter. Not because of that reason. Elo Shehi Rabbi Lezer Oimer Halos Kabalua. He said that when you chew something, it's as if you swallowed it already. In other words, while it's in your mouth, and you chewed it up, so there's no problem swallowing it, because once you've chewed it, it's as if you swallowed it anyway.
What if you just put it in your mouth?
Okay, so hold off on that question. It's an important question. Hold on 1 second. So the Gemara now is going to throw out some examples of other Yisurim where you can also apply that Svara. So af b'Shabbos kein, so it's possible to say this same Svara by Shabbos. Now this case is the different mafarshim exactly how to explain this. One shot is that it's talking about where there's something which was cooked on Shabbos, where it's osur on Shabbos, we're not allowed to eat it, and then you went ahead and you put that food in your mouth, and then they came and they told you, oh, you know that food you just put in your mouth was cooked b'mezid on Shabbos. That's one way to learn it.
It's here.
What?
It's here, the Rishud.
Oh, and the other one is if the Moshe's shot has to do with Hotzah. So what's it's a little more more difficult.
It's
why is what's it negaya, the lost kibalua? What's it negaya? Tell me.
So then he could yotze, but otherwise if
he could be yotze because in other words he could be yotze with the food in his mouth because right. It's already like it's swallowed already.
It's done.
But there isn't now. Here's where hold on 1 second. I want to address your question now that you asked before. There's a gemara mefurashas that says in Shabbos that if someone carries food outside in his mouth, I'll tell you who quotes it.
Yes.
Tell you who quotes it. Let's see who quotes it. Wait, maybe it's a thing motion.
The Maran, a full book, mentions it.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It's Maran Fulda says it.
The what?
After Shabbos came, let's take a look at what the Maran Fulda says. In laos kegregris, havalei kabaloi, if he chewed up kegregris, it's like it's swallowed. They no chayv mitziyam b'fiv. He wouldn't be chayv if he took it out. The ilo laos, Tamar Fulda says, if he didn't chew it up, chayv afsho hutziyam b'fiv. Then you would be chayv because it's a mishnah in Krisos. So here he has a gemara that says b'feirish that if someone is mitzi food in their mouth, that it is considered a chiyuv hotzah. So therefore, he's according to this mahalach, it is lo'os kibolua. If it's chewed up, that's when we say it's as if it was swallowed. Not but if he just either. Threw it in his mouth and it's whole, he's got a whole piece of...
Isn't it the same halach is true if you chew it up, it becomes mius, and then the halach of brachas are different? In other words, chewing
That's another problem. He didn't, you know, he doesn't give that example. I was thinking about that also. I mean, no, actually, let me ask you this question. This is a little almost ridiculous, right? Let's suppose I put a kazayas of bread in my mouth and I chew it up. Am I chayav to bench? Of course not. That's ridiculous. No one would say it's like it's balua.
It's not consumed.
But that's an issue of saveya.
Because it's a problem of saveya. I'm saying it gets ridiculous at a certain point, but we're going to see some cases here. It's really, according to the way they learn it now, look at this. Let's look at the next one. Apa Pesach came, even on Pesach. Now, some people, like if you follow Mara Folda, for instance, he says, Imlos kezayis chametz v'pesach chayav ki'ilu bola. So if I chew a pretzel in my mouth, even though I haven't swallowed it, it's as if I swallowed it. I was over the Issur Karos of eating chametz on Pesach. Unbelievable.
And some people say by the shear, they chew it, keep stuffing their mouth, and then they start swallowing, and the clock doesn't
you're,
start.
You're talking about matzah now. You're talking about matzah. Okay, then we're going to go to matzah next.
Hold on one second.
That's Pesach also. So there, Pei Moshe says it. Apa Pesach kein le'inyan sheyotze yidei chavasai b'achilas matzah. Unbelievable. What do you mean? Pei Moshe is suggesting that if I go ahead and I chew a kazayis of matzah in my mouth, I was yotze the mitzvah without swallowing it? That's impossible. No one in his right mind would suggest such a thing. This doesn't make any sense.
This is not
law. This is totally. I reject this shot out of hand. There's no way this is true.
Why?
It's not shayach to say if there's a mitzvah sachila in the Torah to say that I was yotze the mitzvah without swallowing. Bala matzah yotza, bala mara lo yotza. It's a gemara b'freshes. You have to swallow it. There's also a gemara in Chulin that says if a person swallowed half a kazayas and he kio and he threw it up and he swallowed it again. He is chayiv. The two half kazaisim are mitzdarf. Shari nena groina is mitzdarf. The half kazais to the half kazais. Even though in total it was just a half kazais, that at least I understand a svara that your goron hits the half kazais twice. Here the Yerushalmi suggesting that I don't even have to swallow it in the mitzvah.
That's where I'm nothing.
It's unbelievable. This price is marvelous.
Nothing
this,
is a tana. He can hold it.
He can hold this, right? It's unbelievable, right? And in Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippurim came, that you, if you chewed up a kagregus, let's say the sheer kagregus, right? Not kazayis, kagregus on Yom Kippur.
Is
it? Kokosevas? Is it kokosevas? Not kagregus. It's kokosevas, I think. On Yom Kippur, it's a kokosevas, right? Now we say after Nazir came, that what? If a Nazir goes ahead and chews a grape, is that what it means?
Yeah.
No, but he's talking about on Yom Kippur. He's talking about, and all of these are talking about chametz or
Yisurim.
Yeah.
So I mean that's the change in the pattern. The Pnei Moshe changed the pattern from Yisurim to actually talking about a mitzvah, which that's the part that I found a little difficult. But anyway.
So what they're saying, because since you're already over on the Yisur, you might as well go ahead and swallow it?
That's right. That's right. To me, that's exactly what they seem to be suggesting. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he finds out that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Kalutza. In other words, this is not like the previous Gemara. The previous Gemara said that it was because of Hizkel Beheter. He's introducing a new Svara that Lo'os Kibalua, in which case it makes no difference. It's true about all of the Yisurim. That Rabbi Eliezer would hold even by Ben Grusha Ben Kalutza. Once he chews it up, it's like it's Balua. Unbelievable.
What were these?
Apa Nevelas came. It was true by Nevela. He puts a kazayis and Nevela in his mouth and he chews it up. It's like it's balua. One could say that what the Gemara really means is that once you chew, let's change it completely. Let's change the whole thinking here. That when you chew something up and, you know, make it, you know, filled with your saliva and your teeth and whatever else is going on inside your mouth, then it loses its shemlechel. it's mias. It's gotten to a point of a mias kind, so to speak. Or it's the first stage. You know, we always, when I was in school, they taught us that's the first stage of digestion is in your mouth. You're chewing it up, you're grinding it up, and you're mixing your saliva and whatever else, enzymes that are in your saliva. that help in the breakdown of the food. So you've already, this is old times, you know, I think maybe even sure Spring Valley science. I remember this, Mrs. Rakowski. This goes way back. So here you go. And so maybe that's what he's saying. You don't have to spit it out because it loses its Shem Eichel. In which case, in that case, it comes out that whenever the Torah says that there's an Isser, let's say, to eat Nevela. So if he chews up the Nevela in his mouth, so maybe he wasn't over anything. Maybe he made it ice eichel.
You can't have it both ways.
You could say that the Torah says nevela is osur. It means if you swallow it kind of like in big pieces. So
up until that point.
But what, if you loise it, if you chew it up real well, then maybe that's already not because, I mean, Lachara, the shear has always been Roy Lachilas Kelevin until now, but maybe that's another way to look at this. Okay.
Did you look at the variant box?
Yes, I looked at the variant box. No, I don't want to.
I think if
you know what? If you want to share the variant box, share the variant box.
No, I'm on the computer. They can't hear me.
They hear you. Yeah, loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, share the. So it's exactly the opposite of what you said, that this discussion may have to do with the fact, which you don't believe, the Gabi Matzah at least, that they're over even if they don't. They're over even if they don't swallow.
They're over. They're loska b'loa. The variant box says that there are some mafarshim that learn that you're over the isra even without swallowing.
And it's about likas bavli yerushalmi, and that's what's discussed by the Chassam Sofer and Reb Chaim Weiser.
It has to do with like gum. Gum. The whole essence of gum is the flavor.
Yeah.
So the minute that you chew it, you know what I'm saying? That has, even though kids do ABC,
that's the shadow of whether or not you have to make a bracha on gum.
You know when they asked Rabbi Ruderman about gum, he said he don't have to make a bracha on gum. He thought
that that's the same thing with the same thing with food.
It's the shkenachila.
That's why I'm saying those kabalua, yeah. Maybe because you chew it and you get all the juices and the taste and the flavor.
Yeah.
So right. That's already. You know, that's the hana. That's the isra already.
That's the isra. Right. That's a good svar. Okay. We'll just read the next ones real quick. Off a treifus can, off a shrotzim can, shkotzim, off a ramasim. Shkotzim and ramasim. We all know what that is, right? So let's see. Since we mentioned shkotzim and ramasim, so we'll go talk about shkotzim and ramasim. This is a segue. This is the most funny segue. Okay. Reb Chiya b'shem Reb Yochanan. The Gemara says like this. Hashekha v'hem ramasim v'shekens. A person finds inside an animal's lung a sheketz. What's a translation of sheketz? I don't know. Let's say it's worm. I don't know exactly. Oh, it's also b'achila. He can't eat it.
How does he translate it?
Really? He translates it sheketz.
Oh, he says sheketz.
S-H-E-K-E-T-Z.
A repugnant creature.
Yeah. Great translation.
It's like ribbons.
Yeah, so it's also b'achila. You can't eat it. My timer. But behema ba behema tochelu. So if you look at the sign in the Gemara, it says, gives you the whole pasuk. You'll see right away what it's saying. In Torah or Hasholem, the first one, chol behema parasis parasim shosat shesabat shnei parasis malas gera ba behema. So it says chol behema in the beginning of the pasuk. It says ba behema at the end of the pasuk, and it's joining them together. Behema ba behema. That when can you eat an animal in an animal if it's an animal? But if it's not an animal, you can't eat that animal if you shecht it. Right? It's a sheketz. So, Dr. Gemara, lo sheketz on him.
It's the same
shoshu
of the
word.
Sheketz. I think so. Yes. Yeah, sheketz. A sheketz and sheketz is the same thing. Yeah, Avram, yes. You'll know more about this.
Yeah,
he's definitely. Avram gives you his comment. Same thing.
Amar
Rabbi Yoina, Rabbi Haishia boy, ma ben ol ben zisen shema
doshim. They say sheketz. They're supposed to say sheketz.
73a2. Rabbi Yoina said, Rabbi Haishia inquired, what's the difference between the shekes and the lungs of the animal and these worms or little creepy crawlers that are found inside the lentils? Gnats, he translates it here. The G-N-A-T-S, the gnats found in lentils, or like Tushim Shabbat Slisin, or gnats found in Kalisin, or Talam Shabbat Morma Begregris, or the worms that are found in dates and figs. All of which may be eaten. Very clear here. This is an assumption the Yerushalmi makes. These worms in the lentils and the beans and in the dates are 100% mutter to be eaten. So what's the difference between this that's found in the animal?
They didn't have bug lights.
They didn't have bug lights. Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna get more into this as
this,
we.
This is.
We're gonna get more into this
even
as we.
Even if you know it's there, or if you don't know.
It's has nothing to do. Obviously, if you don't know it's there, that wouldn't be a chiddush. This is telling you, you know it's there, you're allowed to eat it. And it's a mafurshu gemara in Chulin like that. It says befeirush like that.
But nowadays, the halacha changed.
Let's wait a little bit. Halsachain a little bit. So the answer the gemara gives is like this. This is a very sodistic answer. Tamon, over there in the gnat's case, the gufein hain. They germinate within the host fruit. That's where they
come from.
They grow up inside that fruit. And the ister of sharetz is called sharetz hasharetz al ha'aretz. And in order for it to be usher, it has to have been on the ground, so to speak. But not if in the fruit. Baram hocha ina b'gufo. But here, the shkatzim do not germinate within the animal. Rather, they come in through the nose. And inhaled into the lungs, and that's where they came from, the outside. Okay. So this discussion over here. Let's see. Is he bringing it over here? Yeah. In 21.
Spontaneous generation. They don't believe.
So okay. Yeah. 21. He says, "See Chulin. It's the last daf. It's the last daf in Eilu Treifas. 67b is the last page, and it's in the second. If you have an art scroll English, it's the last page of the English volume 2. Okay." So, see, Bavli Chulin Ibid. As we shall see below, not all insects found within food may be eaten. Only insects that germinated within food are never left are permitted. Insects that germinated outside the food and then entered it, or germinated within the food and then left the food and came back to the food, those are all awesome. So, gnats found in beans and in worms in fruit. They germinated within the fruit and they may be eaten. Okay? That's what it says.
So if you have a worm in your apple and there's no holes in the apple, you can eat it.
That is absolutely correct. According to this Yerushalmi, if you bite into an apple and there's a worm in there that grew up inside the apple and it never came from the outside, which is hard to imagine, then you would be mutter to eat it. Yeah. Okay. He brings down. I'm not saying this to halacha. Obviously, the halacha you're gonna have to. Consult your local Orthodox rabbi and the Shulchan Aruch. Hadein sira mur yosa. What about fish blood? This is you have fish brine, and if you have fish blood mixed into the brine, so the brine will have like fish fat and oil and all the blood in there, so it's going to be a murky kind of a fluid. As long as it's murky, it's mutter. But once the fat settles or the murkiness settles, and then the what's remaining there, it's become clearly red. That would be blood, and that's nicker. That would not be mutter. That's an issa d'rabbanon. The dam of a dog is not an issa d'oraisa. It's an issa d'rabbanon. Okay? So it says that here. Actually, yachlo shari, before it becomes clear, it's mutter. Midhud solo, once it clears up, then osir. Next, dam shalakiko. This is a famous gemara, Gron Ksubas, I think, that it says over there, if you have blood on a piece of bread, right, sometimes a person has a cut in his gum and he's bleeding. You bite into your bread and you see your bread is has a little red blood on it on your challah roll, right? So can you take another bite out of the challah roll? No, you cannot. You have to cut away that piece of bread that has red on it. So that's what it says here. Gordo va'ocho. You have to scrape the blood off and then you can eat the rest of the loaf. But if the blood's between your teeth, then you can eat it, don't have to worry about it. Because as long as it hasn't been yotze from your goof, so if the dentist is busy working on you, maybe some of you have had extensive dental work like I have, and your mouth is full of blood and you're afraid to swallow because you don't want to be like this or of like Seif al Dam, you don't need to worry about it. It hasn't been yotze, you can swallow away. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but it says here, Vimayim mi ben shinav, so then it's okay.
Exactly. That's exactly what we said.
But the blood being sheen up that comes out on a piece of bread that you're eating,
it comes out.
Once it's yotze, you can't eat it. That's the din.
If it's been shinov, it's okay. But if it comes out.
If it's in your mouth, it's okay. If it goes out, it's not okay. I think the Gemara talks about this also in the Gay.
This is all Midrabbana, right?
Yeah.
Because it's
exactly. Right. It's exactly. Yeah. Tony, let's go to the next page, 73A3. Tony, Hazizin, and the Bazbuzin, and the Higzin, and whatever these are. These are all types of. Shkotzim. Yoko was one chamber pre. You might think that. That it's usur, even if they're lodged in the fruit. Tamalem or sheketz heim. They are bizman sheheim bifnei atzmon, below bizman sheheim bifri. It's only when they're by themselves, not when they're inside the fruit. Yachal fil yotzu v'chazu, you might think even if they took a little walk. Excuse me,
shut tight. Oh, we don't you, have any tissues.
You, see, just when you think you need them. Yachal fil yotzu v'chazu, you might think even if they go out of the fruit and they come back. You might think that's what they're then too. So the Gemara says, Tamal Loimar, Sheketsu, Afil Yotzeva Chazui, that it's Usur, even if they, not only if they're, but they Atzman, but even if they come back. You don't think that they have to go out and actually crawl on the ground, even if they go and crawl out onto the edge of the food surface and then re entered, Hare Lasurim. They're awesome. So, I mean, this is very, very simple. I just want to mention this. To me, I mean, this is the way I see it. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but the way I see it is like this. Everybody, I heard, makes a big tumble about strawberries. And they say you cut off the tops of the strawberries and you have to soak them, and you have to put a little dishwashing fluid in there, and then you let it soak. And then you take it out, and you have to brush it with a brush, and you have to kill
exactly what all your kids
do. To kill the little worms that may come out of the strawberry. But I think it's totally not correct, based on this Gemara.
I'm talking about the stuff that's on the outside of the strawberry. No.
I'm talking about your average strawberry, which I'm very familiar with. I cut off the top of the strawberry, run it under hot water. I look at the strawberry under hot water, under cold water. I look at the strawberry, there's nothing there. There is nothing there. There's nothing moving. It's completely, if there's a little worm in there, it's completely invisible. 100% mutter, based on this Gemara we just read. They weren't yotze. They were in the thing. The
question is, were they yotze and then they went back in?
So Shamsi wants to tie note. Well, maybe you have to be choshesh. Maybe it came out and went back in. So then the whole hetter. The pasuk is not negay anything. How does anybody know that a sheketz was?
That's not a metzias. In other words, are most of them yotze and most of them not?
I don't know. Last time I talked to them, they didn't tell me. I don't know how you know the metzias.
When you have a fruit that has a skin that you can see in the aperture, then the svar is correct. You look at the apple, you look at the, you see no aperture.
Right.
It's really hard to tell that on a strip.
Okay, so you think I'm wrong?
No. I think my wife thinks you're wrong, and therefore she.
Your wife thinks I'm wrong. That I knew beforehand. Okay, that's just based on this Yerushalmi. I'm just throwing this out. Okay. I don't think there's a machlokus about this in the Bavli. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, I looked at the page earlier. I tried to get a feel for it. There are some differences, but I don't know if this is one of them. Rav Chiya bar Ashi b'shem Rav. Afil yotzu al svas oichav v'chazu. Harei lo asurin. Even if they go out on, basically he's saying the same thing as before. It's really questionable what he's adding to what was just said. He says, even if they go out on the edge, they're usur. Next page. He brings in the footnotes, I think, a gra that tries to make a distinction, but I'm not going to get into that. Now we're on 73b1. Avabar of Huna B'Shem Rebyekin. Hashayf Mahimah Motzabah Chazir. If a person shucks up an animal inside, he finds a, which normally is a Ben Pekua. Right, you usually find an animal that's inside the mother's womb. That animal becomes a muteres. I did the shechita of the mother. Now, if you find a chazir, it's still mutabachil, even though it doesn't look like the mother. Yoinah, but if it's the mus of a bird, then it's osur bachil, then it's osur. My time, what's the reason? Behemoth, a behemoth tochel? What's an animal?
It's not a behemoth.
An animal inside an animal you shall eat. But low oaf by behemoth tochel, but not a bird inside animal. It is actually it's an aperture of an animal's offspring that looks like a bird.
It's a
demus. It's a demus. It's not a real bird.
This oaf is not
a real bird. It's, just like the chazer is not a real chazer.
It's a demus of a chazer. It looks like.
Yeah.
It's an animal that
looks like, meaning the image of a chazer.
Are you familiar with ontogeny? Recapitulate phylogeny?
If it's an oaf, you can't eat it. If it's an oaf, you can't eat it? No, because it's not a behemoth.
I don't think, but Nehema Bava Hema Tokelu, not Yonah.
Mike, are you familiar with ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not familiar with it.
I'm not familiar. Would you like to educate us what you're talking about?
Yes, I will.
Loud, okay.
Even human fetuses go through different stages of development until they get to look like the human.
Yes.
Some of the stages look like fish, some of them like worms, some of them look like pigs, some of them look like birds. So there's a whole phylogic tree that if you look into any embryology book, you should be able to see it.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I don't understand the difference here between an oaf and a pig.
Well, the Gemara is saying that it's a Zeres HaKosav. You're right. I mean, it's got to look like a behemoth in order for it to be Mutaris. But
the pig is much later, closer to the humans.
What he's asking is, since scientifically they're going through that stage anyway, so why would it become awesome? So there's a certain stage of the fetus when it becomes osir and it will become mutter subsequently.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how kosov.
Becomes mutter,
yeah. So you're not asking a question, you're explaining the Gemara in a way it's more palatable, so it's not craziness, right?
I hope so.
Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, thank you.
That should be in the imperative variant.
The imperative variant?
It's imperative.
Shamsi has a new class of variant. It's called an imperative variant. Very good.
He's right. I see now here, it says here, Bavli Cholin notes, however, that even according to Rav Shimon, if a fetus resembling a non-kosher animal is found within a slaughtered animal, it may be eaten because it's going through these steps and the pig is one of the steps.
It's just early in the pregnancy, you're saying.
Okay. Let's go back to the Gemara. Usher Tom Tom Fish Beish. Or you tasted a taste of a bed bug, right? The guy tastes something that maybe it's, you know, it's a sharitz or something. But Lois Seif Dover Pish Beish, the Gemara says, not only if it's, you know, a forbidden creature, Ella Kodor Shanasha Shalom Chosaba Imenu. If a person, it nauseates the person. In other words, even if it's not a dar isser, but it's nauseating, you're allowed to spit it out, even though it's a shtuk of bazayin to the truma, it's going to go la'ibud, no problem. That's not your responsibility.
What, he's eating truma and it's in the truma?
Yes. He tastes a taste of, you know, for me it would be if I tasted black licorice inside my truma, it goes out right away.
If I tasted any licorice in my truma.
Any kind of liquor.
No.
Anyway, so very good. Let's go Vaitugafarn Halacha Bays. Hoya Eichel Bashkol. Person was eating. Okay, we gotta remember just a real quick review. We've said that many times already, but we'll just say it real quick again. That when as long as something has not been Nigmar Malachto and has not been Roya Pneabias or has not gone through the Chatzer, it's not Kavua. And you can eat a derech arai. Once it goes to the chotzer, that's considered already a kvias. Once it's kavua, you can't eat derech arai. Number two, if it's on Shabbos kavas l'maiser, because it says karas l'shabbos oinig, that Shabbos is kaveil v'maiser. It's a gemara beitza, right? So you can't eat anything on Shabbos, even stuff which is not ligmur malakto, because every achil on Shabbos is kaveil. Okay, so with that, the gemara begins like this. A person's eating a cluster. So the nichas min ha'gino lo chotzer, and he goes from the gino where he was allowed to eat derech harai, and he walks into the chotzer where he's not allowed to eat derech harai. So you have the same machlokes. So Rabbi Yehazar and Yigmar finish eating, Rabbi Yishua Amar Lo Gemara, you cannot finish eating. Or another case like that, Choshecha Leilei Shabbos, if you started
eating. You can't eat it because it's true.
You can't eat Derek Vias, correct?
We're talking about.
This is not Truma.
We're talking about carrying.
This is
carrying
here? No. We're not talking about Truma. We're talking about something which has not had the Truma Semaisis taken from it yet.
It's not tithed.
So what's the issue? So Yisrael is not allowed to eat Derek Vias. So if he would carry the cluster without starting to eat it into the Chotzer, it would become Nasa to eat up Derek Vias. There are even Derech Arai, because that's Nigma Malachta, right? That's the rule. So if he started eating outside of the Chatzar and walked in, he can continue eating Kuner Blazer, Kuner Shu, he cannot. Next case, Chashek Lele Shabbos. He started eating on Friday, a half hour before Shkia, and now while he's eating, Shabbos begins. So now you could say, oh, wait a second, you can't eat any more Derech Arai, Shabbos Kaveh Kamas Lameiser. So he says, no. Then we say again, what? Rabbi Lazar Oimar? Yigmar, you can finish it. Yishua Amar Lo Gemara. Again, they seem to be having a repetitive pattern here.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Can we go through number 10 on the previous page?
If you want to, I'm happy to.
73-81, because it points out, especially in the second paragraph, the rabbi further instituted. See that? Those are the...
No problem. I'm happy to do so.
Number
10. So number 10 on 73b1 at the bottom. So it says
the Tevel
prohibition and the accompanying obligation to separate Mises do not come into effect until the produce has undergone two events. Gemar Malacha, completion of processing, and Re'ias Pnei HaBayis. So until the produce has been both processed and brought into the house, it's permitted under biblical law to eat as he wishes the untied produce. The rabbis decreed that produce that has been processed, but not yet brought into the house, may be eaten der achilas arai, but not achilas keva. After the produce has been brought into the house, it's biblical tevel, and may not be eaten even casually. The rabbis further instituted a number of mechanisms that replace the face of the house in establishing the tevel prohibition. The Gemara lists six events to render it tevel. They are cooking, salting, purchase, separating Truma, commencement of Shabbos, and entry into the protected courtyard. That's when we say Chatzar here. So we mean protected
courtyard. Commencement of Shabbos. That's the key.
Well, that's for the
one case, yeah. And we have that's the second case. And the first case was taking into a protected courtyard. Produce that undergoes any of these events is rendered tevel under rabbinic law and cannot be consumed whether formally or casually without being tied. Our mission will deal
two of these.
Yeah, they're all considered things which are considered a certain type of kviyas. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for that clarification. So the Gemara says, Tamon Tanina, we said in the Mishnah over there. Where's there? 15? Maestros chapter 3. Okay. Here he gives an introduction over here. He says
that's
what?
Chapter, right?
Mm-hmm. He says over here. What's the rule regarding produce that grew inside a courtyard? It grew inside a courtyard. So the Mishnah immediately preceding the one we're quoting says a law regarding figs that grew inside a courtyard. It says that if one picks and eats one fig at a time, you're exempt from tithing. If you combine two or more figs in your hand, you're obligated to tithe them. Agra will now quote the next Mishnah, which discusses other types of produce growing in a courtyard. So it says, Gefen, Tamatina, it says over there, Gefen Chihidin Tua B'chotzer. If you have a grapevine planted in a courtyard, Maitel is Kol Hashkol. You can take the whole cluster of grapes from the vine and eat it without taking off the mysis. So can read the same thing that was true with a pomegranate, came off the same thing with a watermelon. In other words, if Tarfin holds, in other words, what's the alternative? Rabbi Kiva argues on Rav Tarfin. Over there, the Gemara doesn't quote it. Over here, the English does. Rabbi Kiva argues, and he holds, no. If you want to eat from a cluster of grapes in the courtyard, you have to pluck off one grape at a time. You can't take the whole cluster. So Rabbi Tarfin holds, no. The way you eat is you take a whole cluster off.
Then
you eat one at a time. Right? That's the way he says it. And the remote is the alternative to the remote, you would be cutting out individual seeds as you count up to see if there really are 613 seeds. I haven't gotten through counting them successfully yet. And the Avtiach is the word of all again. Should you take a slice out of the word of all several times? Never works. They always explode at some point. Okay. Very good. Now, let's see.
So I don't understand. What's the svar here? Why is it allowed?
So the svar is, here we go.
It's ready in a makom mishtamer, or the chorah. It should be chayav immediately.
Well, that's what the previous Mishnah said. Right? The previous Mishnah said that if you go in a fig, you go into a fig, that was the kuli alma. If you had a fig tree growing in the chutzar, you can pick off one fig at a time. That was the previous Mishnah prior to this Mishnah. So now, how do you look at a cluster of grapes? Is a cluster of grapes the whole cluster like one fig? Or do you look at the cluster of grapes? Each individual, grape is considered a fig. So if you keep a hold to each individual one as a fig, you have to eat them one at a time. Of Tafen holds, no, it's one plucking of off the tree. And that, like, there's one, oketz that holds the whole thing on the tree. And once you do that, that's it, you're done.
But Job asked a different question. Why? It's in the chutzar already. You eat anything there about it.
Even the previous mention, he didn't understand the previous mention.
I'm saying, what's the whole svar? I think the answer is because he didn't bring it into a chutzar. He grew it in a chutzar.
It grew. The fact that you didn't bring it into the chutzar, but rather it grew in the chutzar, is what Avram was saying.
Oh.
Maybe a svar. Is that your own svar, or you have?
No, that's
what I think is the difference.
That's the svar. Okay.
I don't know. No, I didn't. I mean, you have.
That's fine.
No, that's the difference.
Yeah.
At what point is there a chiyuv when it's gadol b'chatzer?
So hold on a second. So we're going to explain that Reb Tarfon is going to be going like Reb Eliezer. First, he wants to try to say that. So Reb Zeir, Reb Chiya, B'Shem Reb Yochanan, so he wants to explain that Reb Tarfon holds like Reb Eliezer. In other words, just like Reb Eliezer says, that once you start to eat it outside, you walk into the chotzer, you can continue to eat it.
Lois Kabbalah.
So, no, not because of that reason. Cut that out. He's trying to throw me a curveball here. Yeah, I know. So Reb Tarfon holds that in our case, the person is surely allowed to eat one grape from the cluster and then allowed to finish the entire cluster. In other words, basically, he's saying an interesting svar here. The one grape, everybody agrees you can have. Rabbi Kiva also holds your mutter to eat one grape.
Right.
So now, how do I view the next grape? Is the next grape a continuation of the first grape? So if you hold like Reb Eliezer, maybe yeah, because you started eating beheter, you can finish eating even though it's normally would be kaveya. So starting to eat the cluster, since that was beheter, you can continue to eat that cluster.
Yeah.
That's as far. It's interesting as far. Reb Tarfon oisa uksas ha'eko kitchilase. He considers the end portion of the food to be like its beginning. He views the entire cluster of grapes as a single unit of food. That's what I tried to say before. That he looks at it, we said a fig is mutter. So just like a fig is mutter, so too a cluster of grapes is mutter.
Right. It's all considered. Nothing to do with Reb Eliezer.
Nothing to do with Reb Eliezer at all. Correct. Reb Elah, now here's a variant version of Reb Yochanan's statement. Reb Elah, Reb Yosef, Shem Reb Yochanan, Oy Reb Tarfon, Ke Reb. I'm sorry, this is what I meant before, by that the Gra says this is a distinction here. I made a mistake. So over here, he seems to be saying the same thing, right? It's basically the same idea. He considers one achila where there's two or three achilas like one achila. So the Gra says over here, since I said it already, I'll tell you, he brings it over here. Gra explains, this is in the middle of 24, there's a halachic difference between the versions. The former version, the second suggestion is...
Where are you?
I'm in 24, 73b3. What? Yeah, Gra says there's a halachic difference between these versions. In the first version, the second suggestion is the end of the portion is like the beginning. That means he views the entire cluster as a single unit regardless of size. But over here, the second suggestion, he's saying that a food that contains two or three portions is like a single portion. That means it's limited to clusters that contain only two or three normal portions. But if you're dealing with a gigantic cluster, it's very large.
It's not each grape. It's then a it's cluster a, that, as in the totality of the cluster.
Right. Then he would hold that you would be chayim. He wants to say that might be enough for me between the two lashonos. Okay. My time with Rabbi Elazar. Now, what's going to be the reason? We're going to say the same reason. He started Behetar, so who cares? Either before Shabbos or. So, Tony, we said in the Brisa, Rabbi Nassim, I'm Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shabbos, Rabbi Behetar. He has a new svara, which we haven't seen yet, which is kind of like Anshe Tochlanu Be'Isser, Tochlanu Be'Heter. Just like, in other words, Rabbi Elazar, he's saying, never was matter to continue to eat it in the chutzar. He never was matter that at all. What the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar is, whereas normally you say once something goes into the chutzar, it becomes kavua and you can no longer eat this thing, but there are harai. And this is an exception to the case, since he started to eat it outside, he can go into the chutzar and out of the chutzar and continue to eat derech harai. That's what his heter is. Or if it would be Shabbos, Itaka can't eat anymore once Shabbos begins because Shabbos is kaveya, but we can wait until Moshe Shabbos and then continue to eat. Okay?
That Lachar he would agree with.
That's true.
Can continue eating.
But after Shabbos, he does.
No, talk it out. Rabbi Yeshua would not agree to that. Because once Shabbos came, it's Kaveh LeMaaser. He can't finish eating it until he's Ma'aser.
He's asking, Rav is asking the following question. What do you hold about Rabbi Yeshua? What would Rabbi Yeshua hold if it was, watch this stuff, okay? What would Rabbi Yeshua hold In this case, where you started to eat Friday, it becomes Shabbos, you stop eating. Now Shabbos leaves. Can you continue to eat Derech Arai according to Rabbi Yeshua? Because Rabbi Yeshua is about Plotei Rabbi Elazar. In what aspect is he arguing in this case?
All right, they both hold that you can eat after Shabbos.
That's what we're asking. So you're saying there's no machlokes after Shabbos?
I don't think so.
Well, hold on a second. But if he hadn't started to eat it, then Rabbi, that's for sure. So in other words, Shabbos is not going to be kaveya any eichel in the world to say that I'm no longer able to eat it. That's going to be ridiculous, right? You can eat everything during the week derech harai. Only shaila is, if I began to eat it, and now Shabbos was kaveya lemaiser, and that prevented me from continuing to eat it, does it go back after Shabbos is over? So Avram wants the time that Rabbi Yeshua would hold, no, you cannot continue to eat it. That would be the point of the machlokas. Rabbi Elazar would hold, you can, and Rabbi Yeshua holds, you cannot. Okay. Dov is maskim. And
what is in English for that thing?
I don't see anything about that in the footnote.
I don't see anything about Rabbi Yeshua.
Bottom line of Rosh Siri Lo says it. Take a look. Yantan Matsoy Shabbos of Shabbos Tony the Haino Matsoy Shabbos Lochots Rahino Shots Lochots Rabbi Yeshua Afil Maha Polig the Shabbos Kova Afil Matsoy Shabbos. So you got it right, Avram. I'm not surprised. I don't want to sound surprised at this. Hold on one second.
Stop the recording.